Hey guys, episode 3 is on its way, so sit back, relax, get you a nice cup of tea. I prefer Joe's tea overall. Sit back, get your tea, pinky up, and sip. Love you guys, enjoy the show. So, Joe, you're the owner of Joe's Herb Cabinet, correct?
Correct.
Awesome. How long have you had the shop?
We've had the shop about 10 months.
10 months?
Yes, since June 2020.
Wow, you survived all through COVID.
Yes.
That's fucking awesome. That's great. So, when did your passion for this all start, all things holistic, really, because that's pretty much the vibe I get from the shop, is it's well-rounded.
The passion has always been there in my life for just trying to understand how we live in this world and how we interact with it. I was lucky enough to grow up in Arkansas, where we lived in the National Forest in a small trailer, and we had chickens, a garden, we would grow mushrooms. My parents were not hippies though.
Right.
They went there to find a good place to raise their kids and allow us to be near nature. And that's where the love began, definitely. Eating those shiitake mushrooms straight out of the shed.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's good.
That's really great. So, was it almost like a homestead? Did you grow?
No, they had jobs and things, and we went to school, and we bought groceries. Mm-hmm. But we just lived a simple life. It was, I'm about 38 years old. Mm-hmm. And my childhood was, that time period was before the internet. It was before computers. It was, we had a telephone.
Yeah.
It was more simple.
Did you have a TV?
Yeah, we had a TV for watching cartoons. Mm-hmm.
Did you spend a lot of time in front of it, or did you spend more of your time into nature?
Into nature.
Yeah.
We had motorcycles and we would ride through the woods. We had a trail, me and my brother, and we got to ride through the woods, and we did that almost every day. And there was unlimited amount of trails, and at me at like 8 years old and him maybe 11, and we would just ride our little 80cc motorcycles through the National Forest trails, and we saw all kinds of crazy things. And it was scary. It's where I got my fear of nature.
You have a fear of nature?
Yeah.
No, cut it out.
I freaking do.
How do you have a fear of nature?
And I haven't thought about it until right now. I mean, I've never identified it as a fear of nature, but...
Yeah.
God, just riding through the trails and just seeing, for instance, we had packs of wild dogs near us. Uh-huh. And we were getting chased by them pretty frequently. Mm-hmm. But one time in particular, I was with my dad and me. We were on the motorcycles, and the dogs got so close he had to stay back and like fight the dogs off. And like 20 like crazy dogs living in nature, and of course I rode away, and every time on the trails after that, it was my big fear, running into the wild dogs. So I would even be scared to go out sometimes.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to get eaten by wild dogs.
Well,
it's torn apart. Gosh.
I don't know how rational it is, because I don't know if the dogs would have really eaten me or
attacked
me.
Right, but as a kid, that's like the first thought.
Yeah, it gave me a fear of nature. And then another fear of nature, my dad and I would go mushroom hunting. Mm-hmm. And LBM, little brown mushrooms. I have a fear of LBMs to this day. Like, if it's a little brown mushroom, I don't even really try to, consider consuming it, things like this.
Will you elaborate what little brown mushroom is scary for?
Oh, because There's, I'm sure you know, but there's thousands of mushrooms in the world, maybe even more, who knows? And certain mushrooms, a single bite of can kill you, like the destroying angel or the death cap. Uh-huh. And all of the real deadly ones, you could learn to identify the few deadly ones in the area,
uh-huh.
which I recommend.
Strongly suggest, yes. Absolutely.
But another safe way to look at it is, if it's a little brown mushroom, it's too complicated for me to actually identify. And as an amateur, this is kind of what I do.
Yeah.
Unless it's a cultivated little brown mushroom, and then I'm okay with it.
Mm-hmm. Right, exactly. Wow. So, mushroom hunting, that
yes.
sounds like a lot of fun. Is that something that you did all the time?
Yeah, we would do it a lot.
And is that something that happens in Arkansas? Like, that's like a big, like, is that a good area for that?
It's a great area for it.
Real, yes. Like the moisture?
Or... Yeah. And it wasn't like a common thing that was done around there. And I don't know how my dad knew about it or got interested in it.
Uh-huh.
But he was a great mushroom. He is a great mushroom identifier and hunter still.
Hmm. Must be from the family, right?
Yeah. So I love doing it. Honestly, he's more of a productive mushroom hunter. Me, I like to go hunt the mushrooms and just look at them or photograph them.
Mm-hmm.
Is my favorite thing to do. Unless I find one that's really tasty.
Yeah.
Like a morel.
I've never had one. I've never had a morel.
Oh,
do you
really?
Just eat them immediately?
Mm-mm.
Or how does that work?
Oh, morel mushroom?
Yes.
I have one right here I can show you. Here's an example of a morel mushroom I found last year. And they're dried now. So I would find that,
mm-hmm.
and it's so easy to identify.
Right.
And you can chop it in half, and you'll see that it's hollow all the way through it. And you soak it in salt water. This is what I do. Soak it in salty water for 10 hours, and then pat it dry real well. And then put it in a skillet and saute it with nothing else in the skillet. And then after it starts to release its water and start to get a little brown, I can add a fat to it if you like. You can add mm-hmm. butter to it, something along these lines.
Wow.
Olive oil even to make it a little saute. Real mushroom.
I found one of those when we went hiking. And it was in the Wichita Mountains.
Oh.
Yeah, and I took it home and I left it in a backpack and I haven't looked at it since. So I don't know what's happening with it.
Wow.
But it's in a backpack of mine.
Oh, it's probably.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, you might want to look at it.
I should probably.
It might still be okay because they're pretty darn tough.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They're pretty tough. They're kind of rubbery.
I'll take a peek at it for mm-hmm. sure. So carrying on into like adulthood, like you said, you were outside a whole bunch. So that's, you had the love for the nature, but also the fear for it too.
Okay. Uh-huh.
So coming into adulthood, did you always do, did you have the same job? Like, is this was always the intent?
Oh, as an adult, I've always worked in the medical, like a hospital or
okay.
pharmacy. I worked in pharmacy for 17 years before this as a pharmacy tech.
Okay.
This is what I did. It taught me a lot about life, about how to have a job, mm-hmm. about how to do well at your job and take pride in it.
Yeah.
About how to do things to help other people as well. Helping patients was always important to me in that. It's not exactly encouraged, and it's not the focus of that kind of modern healthcare now.
Mm-hmm.
Seeing the patient, the employees, I say, want to, but the system, systematically, it's hard to fulfill your own personal mission when you are required to treat the patients like commodities or something.
Mm-hmm.
And it's called moral injury.
Mm-hmm.
There's a word for it.
Okay.
When you went into something to help people and then you realize, oh, I can't do this and I'm not fulfilling my goal,
mm-hmm.
And you continue doing it, it's harmful to you. And this is why I got out of it.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And then you found the holistic Or that was always this in you?
Well, I was wanting to get out of it as soon as state question 788 passed. I worked at the polling place that day. Mm-hmm. I checked the results. I got super excited.
Yeah.
And then the plan, ever since that day, and I think it was June, the plan was to open a dispensary. It got crowded, though, and I had very little money. Mm-hmm. So we worked for 2 years. My wife became a nurse, is now a nurse, making good money.
Right.
Allowed me to quit my job and take what little savings we have to open this place. And this is how we transitioned from pharmacy to herbs.
Yeah.
Yeah. And oh my God. This is, everyone, some people in the first days open, they would say, this is my dream, opening an herb shop. And I say, mine too. And... And it's something that's very, it was easy in the beginning. It was easy, I think it was easier opening it, finding a location, mm-hmm. you know, driving around for 4 months trying to find a location. That seemed daunting and I almost gave up. Mm-hmm. But then we got the place, did the construction. That also seemed daunting. And getting all the approvals and the licenses, that seemed daunting, but we got it completed. And it seems like each day going forward, though, like, we're adding new... This makes it sound stressful in the opposite of enjoying it, actually.
Right?
But I just thought I would throw this part out there. I do love it. We were struggling to find business so much because we opened the doors in June and the first few weeks were like, oh my God, one customer a day or maybe two. Because I had a bad misconception that once you put the open sign up, people just walk into a business.
Right.
So we tried doing things like offering free medical card processing and things like, I'll do all the work for you.
Yeah.
Doing other things like trying to work with the community on the community garden, things like this, in the veterans program,
right.
Helping veterans get their cards, extending all these offers to try to get people just to come in the shop. And we offered what I thought was good things, things that would be good for the community. And now, after time, a little bit of time has passed, those things are starting to be cashed in.
Mm.
Like the medical cards.
Yeah.
People are taking me up on the offer.
So
it makes life busier.
Yeah.
It makes the herb shop a busier thing to operate. But I'm so happy that yesterday we did, the past 2 days we've done about 6 cards for customers and a couple of veterans cards. And the veterans cards were free, no charge for them.
Oh, that's beautiful.
So they didn't have to pay anything out of pocket. And I could either spend my day marketing and paying, I don't know, Leafly or Weed Maps or a radio station to try to get people in the door.
Mm-hmm.
Or what if I offered them something that they want that's going to cost me the same as advertising, but it allows me to meet them and show them what we have to offer here.
Right. Absolutely. That's a great way to look at it. It's more for the patients than it is for anything else.
Uh-huh.
I like that. That's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. So your wife plays a big part in helping with everything, correct?
Uh-huh. Yes.
That's great. And she is a nurse, you said.
She's a nurse.
Is she on the holistic side? How is it? How does it work? Because so my sister's a nurse,
mm-hmm.
and I see the value in the pharmaceutical side in certain ways also, but how does that play into her? How does she look at both sides of the spectrum?
Mm. Well, her situation now is very interesting,
mm-hmm.
because she works in drug and alcohol rehabilitation and recovery. So a patient comes to her, sometimes they get dropped off by their mother and they get thrown out of the car in their pajamas, and then they go live after using maybe meth or heroin, opioids, mm-hmm. like a problem. And then they get thrown into this place where my wife is, and their response a lot of times is to medicate them more, mm-hmm. medicate the patient more. If they're trying to get off of opioid pills, let's give them benzodiazepines, or let's right. give them Zoloft or SSRIs, and it's just answering every question with a drug is where she has a little bit of a problem with it. She did put in her notice there about 3 days ago, so
yeah.
I mean, like I said, no, it's modern healthcare isn't perfect.
Right.
And she sees people as being over medicated and being their people's addictions are being used to profit, to make people are profiting off of people's addictions mm-hmm. without really solving the problem.
Right.
She doesn't, on the holistic side, she is an expert at yoga and can solve problems this way mm-hmm. and with cooking, things like this. She's an excellent mother. So she has the power of, she's a witch too. So she harnesses the power of nature, and she can really heal with human touch, her right. patients. Oh, without nice. Drug, but it's not encouraged, of course, because you can't charge for a human touch.
Right. Right. Awesome. I'm going to pause real quick. Do you have a bathroom?
Yeah, okay. Right back there.
1 hour later. Okay, Joe, so you have a conference that you'll be attending Saturday, June 19th. It's the Entheogen and Spirituality Conference. When I look at the list of topics and the speakers that we'll be covering, I see a lot of use of, you know, plant medicine. And so, with that being said, what are you going to be covering? What's your topic going to be? You're covering.
I'm going to be talking about cannabis and herbs. Mm-hmm. And how you can sort of use cannabis to understand how to use herbs, the non-cannabis herbs, and vice versa, how you could look at an herb and it could help you with your cannabis usage, and maybe discussing the similarities and how to best approach that situation. But it should be a great event, a family-friendly event, and it's outdoors. And I'm very much looking forward to it.
Awesome. And that's in Nuwala, Oklahoma, it looks like. And you can purchase tickets, actually, to this event. I'm not really sure. It looks like there's a Facebook page. And then I know you can buy them on Everbrite, I believe. Is that the...
I think so, yeah.
Evenbrite or Everbrite?
Yeah.
Yeah, you can purchase the tickets for that.
You can come to Joe's and get a little flyer, and there's a deal on the top you can scan, and it'll take you right to the website.
Perfect.
Come see Joe.
Yeah, absolutely. And so, speaking on other kinds of medicines, I see, you know, you've got something about mushrooms or...
Yes, I do have the word mushrooms on our front window, and that's just to tell people that we do sell medicinal mushrooms. Like reishi, shaga, things like this, shiitake mushroom. But having that on the window has really allowed me to hear people's testimony about their use of other mushrooms, psilocybin in particular. And many people in our community are using a tiniest dose, a tenth of a normal dose, that would make you trip. And these people are going throughout their day not feeling high and not having any problems functioning, and it's doing magic things to help their life. And I love hearing stories like this, and I hope that we're going to hear some of these at the conference, and I think we will.
Oh, absolutely. the life-changing experience that psilocybin has given me just through microdosing is like transformational, life-changing. So I'm right there with you. I'm in a complete agreement on just microdosing with psilocybin is transformational. I'm a big fan of that idea. So we were just discussing how the Psychedelic Society of Oklahoma is actually partnering up, and we're getting things on the roll for decriminalized nature here in Oklahoma. So we can work on not having the micro, what is that looking at us, you know, the, what is it?
Microscope.
There we go, the microscope, thank you. The microscope on people for just wanting to heal and not choosing to do healing just one way or how they see it fit. Yeah.
It's vital. Mm-hmm. It's vital that people be allowed to use nature to heal themselves. I think it's a basic human right.
Yeah.
It's called the people's medicine. Herbs are.
What's that saying? My body, my choice?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So thank you for, I agree with you. We'll do whatever we can to help that effort.
Absolutely. So...
Well, and you said, tell us again what kind of mushrooms you sell, Joe, because I love psilocybin too, but unfortunately we can't sell it. And but there are other mushrooms that have medicinal uses help. You know, I personally used several different types of mushrooms to get off what we like to refer to as the 6-pill combo at the VA, when they just start giving you other pills to treat the symptoms of the original pill that you're on.
Mm-hmm.
And so I have my own personal experience with that, but I also know that there are legal herbs that you sell that can help with that other than psilocybin. So for the guy that... afraid to go on the other side of the law, what are some of the mushrooms? Or I see you've got kratom up there on the wall. What are some things you might recommend for those guys that want to stay on the legal medicinal side of the mushrooms for now?
In order to help reduce the pills and
the effects and the mental capacities, and, you know, just kind of talk about some of the reasons you carry these mushrooms.
The mushrooms are traditional Chinese medicine. They're very nutritious. There's research on the mushrooms showing that if you use multiple mushrooms together, you get the benefit of an entourage of mushrooms. A lot of the benefits have to do with cardiovascular system. Just sort of like, I feel like we can use mushrooms to get back to a way to get back to a more natural way of life. Because I feel like mushrooms signify earth. And if we're spending our time in nature a lot of times, or indoors, like I do, inside a building, relying on the mushrooms to reconnect me with earth is what I like to do. But there's health benefits and nutrition benefits as well. And kratom is another one that you mentioned.
Yeah, it's another word you have up there.
Yeah, it's another word in the window. And this is something I knew very little about before I opened the shop. Just started, it's like a lot of mushroom stories. People told me stories of kratom and how they had the success stories with it. And I don't, of course, don't sell it as, hey, this is an opioid replacement. But people have used it. This is the main use that I hear. I was on opioids for 20 years, and my opioids were taken away, and I was immediately in pain. And maybe they used to use street drugs for a while to help fill the burden or the gap there. But kratom is a tree that grows in Indonesia. It's related to the coffee plant. It contains 7 alkaloids that are medicinal. 2 of those act as opioids in the body. These can be defined by a lab. You can see the concentration. But there's 5 other alkaloids that there's very little research on involving, and people don't always want a sedating effect. But just using, it's a special herb. I don't know the complete science behind it, but I know it's very special. And we offer the whole pure leaf in all of its forms, including powder. And kratom.
And you said, what mushrooms you do carry here in the shop?
Right? Oh, sorry, I didn't mention that. Yeah. Reishi, chaga, lion's mane, maitake, shiitake. We carry cordyceps mushrooms, and I believe that's all of them that we carry at the moment.
All of them? Two-page long list.
We carry the whole mushroom, so if you want to, you can do experiments. You know, some things inside the mushroom are better extracted with hot water, and some things better with alcohol. So it's the raw form, so you can make a tea out of it, or you can take it further and make tinctures and things at home.
So if you were to make a tea out of it, would you just ground it up?
Yeah, I will grind it up for you if you want to make it easily at home. Mm-hmm. And you could either boil it, simmer it for 15 minutes, or make it with as a cup of tea, a 10-minute steep.
Nice.
The longer you keep it in the hot water, that's why they like the decoction, it's called, when you sort of simmer it for a longer period of time, you get a lot more out of the mushroom.
Ah, okay. Gotcha. Nice.
Thank you for asking about the mushrooms.
I am a fun guy.
He's a fun guy. Perfect. Yeah, Kevin, you can help people, can't you?
I can help people. I'll jump up there and run the register.
Make deals.
Make deals for days.
I won't make deals, but I'll get up there. We'll educate. I can fake it long enough to get smelling some jars while you finish up.
Perfect. Okay, so...
We sell all the hermetic property. Yeah. Now, this is the only one you can buy right now.
That's all we're selling. Sorry. While I'm working, this is all you get. So I really enjoy... the look of the shop, it's very nice. I can't really give an explanation because my explanation is just like awe. I get in awe when I look at your shop. So who helped design this?
My wife did all of the design. Mm-hmm. And she also had the idea of really pursuing the idea that making this like you would see an herb shop from 1900 to 1905, and that specific time period. And she told me that, so this answered a lot of questions for me. Like if I wanna buy a vacuum, or no, a mop. If I wanna buy a mop, I need to find a mop from 1900 to 1905 appropriate.
Yes.
The medicine, you know, other than like the concentrates and things, which weren't real big in the 1905 time, I think we're pretty accurate using whole herbs instead of drug-like herbs or tinctures and things. We do have some herbal tinctures, but the whole herbs were pretty popular in 1900. Mm-hmm. this also, when she decided this would be a good time period, it coincides with the final days of herbal medicine in a little bit. There was also interesting things going around that time, like Beethoven was going on, or some classical music was happening. So we like to play things from this time period for music in the shop. And yeah, I think just sticking with that design, and she has an eye for layout and for dividing spaces up into little vignettes. Mm-hmm. Like we see here is sort of a little vignette, and over there is a vignette. Over there is a little bit of one going on. She used to work at Old Navy too. So she teaches me about how to group products together. Like maybe your soaps should go here. Put the bigger things in the back. Simple things like this. General merchandising. It helps the place look together.
Absolutely. It looks so great in here. I'm an absolute fan.
You should have seen what I was going to do.
What were you going to
before she stepped in?
What was the plan in the layout?
The plan was to get a shop that was 200 square feet, but they don't exist, of course, because I had very little money, and I wanted to have just one little counter with just, you know, standard dispensary items, and then on the other wall, a wall of herbs, with no real theme and not much cohesion. So I was lucky that she said, Joe, do not do that, and fixed it for me.
Yeah.
And drew it, and we made it. She drew it, and all we had to do was myself and volunteers painting, building, everything just to match the picture.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Well, she did an amazing job. It looks fantastic in here. I love it. I'm glad it's.
Thank you.
I'm glad it is. It is what it is.
I tell her every day. I say, you did it. We got another compliment on the shop today. Oh. And it's true. Every day someone says the shop is beautiful. It makes me feel comfortable.
Yeah.
So.
It's not like a dispensary. You know, it's like it's more than that kind of experience. I feel like you get when you come here. You don't just get like a dispensary feel.
It feels like you're in someone's living room. You're in a home. Mm-hmm. Like someone resides here regularly.
Mad scientist or something?
That's kind of the way I feel too. I feel like being the owner and being the employee, there's no other employees necessarily at the moment. I feel like it is home-like in that way. Like if there's a, if the plants out front need water, you know, I'm going to do that.
Yeah.
You know, I water the plants. That's why it feels kind of like a home, because it's like, yeah, there's a big freaking mess over there today. It's like my home. It's slightly messy sometimes.
Yeah.
And sometimes it looks cleaner. I did not clean today. I talked to you guys.
Yeah, absolutely, right?
Yeah.
Right?
For you all.
It is our fault. So with business growing and everything, when you first started the dispensary, did you start with teas and doing those blends also?
Yes, we started with tea and hemp, and then we operated that way for about 2 months, and then we got the cannabis license, mm-hmm. and then we started carrying those items.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah, so we were waiting on the cannabis license, so we were trying to make some money selling herbs and hemp.
That's great. So do you have patients that come to you regularly and that tell you like, oh, well, this is going on and this is going on, and you can like put them in a good direction for like a tea blend and a cannabis, like a good mixture together? Are you doing things like that?
Yes, absolutely. And really, it's not a lot of the cannabis users who need extra support.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes cannabis fulfills all of their medical needs.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes you see some herb users who they're drinking their chamomile and lavender tea and they're still having an anxiety attack at night. And they can't sleep, so they can't fall asleep, so they end up turning to alcohol to try to fall asleep, and they want another way. So those herb users, you know, we can get them some hemp that might help.
Mm-hmm.
For me, it's all about take them where the customer is, where the patient is, and what they're currently doing that's working.
Mm-hmm.
And if they want to tweak it, then we just either add just a little bit of something or just take away a little bit of something. But I don't want to make drastic changes during your self-experimentation.
Mm-hmm.
So I want you to keep doing mostly what you're doing, and then we'll do a little bit of a change so you can experiment on yourself.
Oh, that's nice.
I can suggest it. But I view myself as more of an herb curator. So I want to have all the herbs somebody could need, but I'm not good at if you come in and say, I have this bump on my shoulder,
mm-hmm.
or I have this cough, you know, I'm not a Chinese medicine doctor.
Mm-hmm.
So right. There's certain things that I will not attempt to do.
Yeah.
But if I don't know and I say, hey, I don't know. And the customer says, please, just tell me something. I might say, well, if I were you, I might just drink this lemongrass and see if this helps.
Yeah, for sure. So, like something that has worked for you maybe in the past, I can maybe say that might work for you.
Yeah, it might work. It's all about self-experimentation. And we do, at the same time, if I'm telling them to try something that might not work,
mm-hmm.
and they're asking for medical help, unlike a doctor's office or a pharmacy, I say, if it doesn't work, return it, and we'll refund it or exchange it for something that might work better.
Oh, that's
so
really nice.
It's basically a risk-free herbal experiment on yourself. is the way I view it.
Yeah.
And not a lot of people return things, but I think they feel bad about returning it. They're like, I don't want to return it. But that's what I want. Because mm-hmm. I want people to actually get a benefit. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, or maybe they just use it all up and then maybe come back again and try again, you know?
Yeah, try something
different.
They
realize, well, it didn't work for this, maybe it helped for this or this.
Yeah. And when you're dealing with the herb experiments, like, you know, an ounce of herbs costs, you know, $3 to $7 usually. Mm-hmm. It's pretty affordable compared to cannabis in particular. Mm-hmm. But you could get a week's worth of herbs for $5 to experiment on yourself. It's not a lot of money invested into it, so maybe that's why they don't return it.
Right. Possibly. So I have heard of people mixing lavender and cannabis and smoking it. Is that a thing? Can you do that?
Yeah. It's really a thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Would you suggest it for like sleeping?
Yes. I would suggest it for sleeping. You're talking about lavender shares some terpenes with cannabis.
Yes.
Like linalool.
Yes.
So you're thinking you can add an herb to the cannabis and alter the entourage effect?
Yeah, maybe make it more strong in the sense of sleep to help with the entourage effect.
Yes, I would. I would do it if I were you.
Cool. Good. Then I will definitely try that. I've been wanting to do that.
Uh-huh. And then there's other herbs that you can combine with cannabis, not because they share terpenes, but maybe because it has something that you want, an additional action.
Okay.
Not like, just make this more cannabis, feeling. Not make the cannabis better, but what about a side effect of the cannabis that you don't like? Like, how about the lack of dreaming?
Yeah.
With cannabis, a lot of people have their dreams taken away from them.
I haven't dreamed in like 5 years on cannabis. Today's my last day, so I can get back to dreaming. I'm taking a tolerance break.
I haven't dreamed in a couple of years, but I get to points where I can remember my dreams a little bit, but not like I was a vivid dreamer before. Mm-hmm.
And this is a good time for herbs to step in. Mugwort.
Yeah, okay.
Mugwort. Artemisia vulgaris. Mugwort was used. Wort means herb.
Uh-huh.
Mug, it's a mug herb. It's for drinking tea out of.
Gotcha.
Mugwort is pretty bitter. It grows locally though. Mugwort is all around us and it's very powerful. For me, I love to drink a mugwort tea before bed because it allows me to start dreaming right away. I feel a special connection to the herb, mm-hmm. and if you can develop a special connection to mugwort, what a lot of people have found is it helps them in their sleep and in their dreaming. And some people even smoke it with their cannabis at bedtime.
So it is not just drinkable, it is smokable too. Yeah.
Smoking mugwort is the most common way people buy mugwort here.
Okay.
A lot of people come in to buy mugwort to smoke.
Yeah. I'm so happy that we're talking today and I'm finding all this stuff out. That makes me excited to learn that.
And this is a chance to not make the cannabis stronger, but deal with a side effect. You know, other herbs that can be helpful in your cannabis use are like black peppercorn. Some people take too much dabs and they throw up uncontrollably. Mm-hmm. Chewing on a black peppercorn is helpful for them. And taking a hot shower. Mullein is an herb that can be combined with cannabis for its expectorant effects. So maybe if you have a lung infection or some sort of some junk that you're coughing, maybe you should add the mullein in with your cannabis, and maybe this would leave you feeling healthier than if you wouldn't have smoked the cannabis and mullein in the first place.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Well, and I know this is common sense, but you were the first guy that really convinced me to start using CBD in with my cannabis, which definitely changes the high and the mm-hmm. effect and leaves you more clear-headed and able to function, you know, and you do have 3 or 4 different types of CBD on the shelf over there as opposed to a lot of the other places that maybe have one strand or a really high strand of THC with a little CBD in it. You were really the first guy that I knew that was like, hey, I hear you talking. Check this over here out. I think you'll be into it, mm-hmm. you know.
Yeah. CBD is like the bridge. Mm. It's like the bridge from society to like heavy cannabis users. It's like a place where we can all meet and be happy there.
Yes.
Non-cannabis users and like dabbers even. Mm. We can all use CBD and hemp products and experience healing benefits without making ourselves feel crazy or scared.
Yeah, I'm a big believer in hemp and CBD. Especially for like anxiety or any kind of like depression, really too. That's helped. Mm. And like very much so in my niece's life was CBD and hemp. Mm. So.
How old is your niece?
She's 20. Well, she'll be 20 this year, yes.
Mm-hmm. Was she using cannabis before?
She was using cannabis before, and it just was not completely doing everything that it needed to do for her. Mm-hmm. Or maybe she was using it more for fun. Mm-hmm. It didn't seem like the CBD or the hemp could give her maybe like the party satisfaction or the fun part of it. It was more like what she was using THC for versus... Oh, yeah. What she was using with the non-psychoactive.
I struggled with that myself. I know exactly what you're talking about. Because my first introduction to CBD is I have an ex-wife that had storm anxiety really, really bad.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like, cry in the closet storm anxiety. And I'm a cannabis user, and I'd be like, baby, if you smoke this joint, you'll calm the hell down. But because her anxiety was so extreme, anytime she partook in cannabis with me, her paranoia and her internalness would go through the roof. And it was just when things were starting to get legal and CBD got real big there right before we got legal, if you guys remember. And so I bought some CBD and she was able to smoke the CBD, be calm, not have any of the head high that I have, any of the paranoia. And I was like, oh, this is a really cool thing. And I became interested in thin. But because I'm a THC user that smokes cannabis, I was like, well, what the hell do I need this part-time? I don't even know what the proper term, chemical or terpene was the top or descriptive term for CBD as compared to THC.
Cannabinoid.
Yeah. If I'm already taking the king daddy of cannabinoids, THC, what do I need CBD for? So
right.
For me, it was another 3 years before Joe was like, hey, try this CBD. And just based on him, I was like, oh. Like as soon as the first time I smoked a half and half, I was like,
okay.
This is what they're talking about.
Really?
Yeah.
I feel all the effects in my body, but there's no clouded vision. I can maintain my thought, and I can interact still. I didn't have that couch lock, but I still had the body high, if that makes sense.
Uh-huh.
And, but because I had been such a THC user for so long, I wasn't willing to try CBD because I looked at it as like, why did you smoke CBD?
That's the amateur stuff.
Yeah. They made this illegal. Why we need to smoke that?
Right. You know? Right. Absolutely.
When the truth is... Well, that probably helps me more, to be honest with you.
Got a good medicinal effect for you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, for sure.
But your sister, was it your sister or your cousin you're talking about, has a stigma. I don't know that I want to smoke CBD because I already enjoy this effect. I'm getting off marijuana so much.
Mm-hmm.
Do I want to change?
Right. She just was not aware of the difference in... So when she first tried the CBD, it was like, well, I didn't get high, basically, is the what she would say. But really, it was helping her in other ways that she wasn't realizing until she became like, I don't even really need the weed anymore.
Right.
You know, and that's kind of where she is right now.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Doesn't even need the hemp anymore?
No, I think she does. I want to say it's like a hemp. I think she has like a hemp vape. There we go.
Mm-hmm.
Those things. I know she had a lot. And then there was this one girl that had a lavender vape that I thought was really intense. Yes. A vape that was lavender. That's why she smoked it just when she was stressed.
Wow.
Yeah, I know. And that was in like Elgin, Oklahoma. A real small town. So I thought that was pretty neat.
A lavender vape.
I've never heard of it.
I'm working on getting somebody to combine cannabis and herbs
mm-hmm.
in some sort of vapable form. I don't know. I don't know if anybody will do it. I don't know if it's safe. I don't know if it should be done. It's
something
we could think
out.
About, though. Because people love the convenience of a vape pen.
Yeah, absolutely.
And if you could throw something else in there that would make them make their results better, then it might be something. But I don't know. I'm not a processor, so I can't do it myself.
Oh, yeah.
It's not a chemistry podcast, so I'm not going to go in depth on how we could break things down. But I think it's highly possible.
I think it would be super cool to have, like, that would be molding the effect that you would want. That'd be cool.
Have you smoked Blue Lotus?
I have. Pretty sure I drank it.
Oh, you drank it?
And like I would, and it was powder form, and I got it in like this little. I went to an herb shop. I don't even want to call it an herb shop. I don't really know. It was over. It was like Natural Remedies, I think, is the name of it. But yeah, it was a little pouch, and I. Oh, it was harsh to drink because I just put it in a bottle of water and shook it up and went to drink it, and it was like every time I tried to drink it, I didn't. No one explained to me how to use it. But the woman had told me it would help with like lucid dreaming. So that was one of the reasons why I wanted to try it.
That's a useful one. That's up there alongside mugwort as far as like a useful bedtime and for dreaming.
Mm-hmm.
It's called the Egyptian dreaming herb is the other name for it.
Oh.
And it's drawn on you know, tombs, Egyptian tombs.
Yeah.
And on the mummies and things. You can soak it in wine, the leaves of this aquatic plant, the flower petals, soak it in wine for a week, red wine, and then you could, this is how the Egyptians drank it. And then just a little sip at bedtime is quite a nice experience.
This sounds like the immortality key, like the wines and stuff that they were talking about.
Yeah.
Joe, you should read that book if you haven't read it yet.
I have it on my to-do list now.
Yeah.
That's insane. Yeah, I mean, I would like to use some of that.
That's a good one. There's a few other that people like to use for dreaming, but really, some of it is about what they want to dream about. And I don't know, you can use anything to help you dream too, is the other deal.
Mm-hmm.
Like lucid dreaming, thinking about an object, things like this. Certain techniques to help you lucid dream.
Mm-hmm.
I'm no expert on that.
Yeah, but if I can, you know, have some of these herbs and try to do it too. I mean, that was the intention for last time I did it was I wanted to lucid dream.
Uh-huh. We'll get
I was already, like, dreaming really well at that point. And right now, like I said, I'm not dreaming really at all. And I'm barely remembering my dreams. So, so yeah, using something to help with that would be nice.
Mm-hmm.
For sure. So you're having artists that come and... play, is it just certain kinds of artists or any artist?
We're looking for all artists. We're really looking for musicians.
Uh-huh.
And I would really, it'd be nice if it was appropriate instrumentation for 1900 to 1905.
Okay.
But we do have one person who's an electronic music maker, and we are scheduling that person to come in. Based around some experimental fields with regarding plants, some sound waves and things, he might do an experiment in here, in the shop.
Oh,
so
cool.
If you play a stringed instrument, if you play the lute or the violin or the guitar, a saxophone, whatever it is, contact me and we'll set you up for an hour slot to play right here in the shop. And we pay you. And you also can get tips.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
And... What days are you doing this on?
Whenever the artist is available and whenever we're open, really. It doesn't bother me too much to have, say, for instance, a violinist playing here while I'm over there doing work.
Mm-hmm.
It just gives me something fun to listen to. And then it just adds an extra level of interest to the shop.
Absolutely. And so are people welcome to come in when you have a musician here playing and watch and lounge?
Yes. And I'll be sure to put it on the social media and things when we have a musician coming to play.
Yeah.
And you can come listen and just sit and watch and drink free tea samples. And there's no obligation to purchase anything.
Awesome. So wrapping it up, will you give your address to this location so people can come and visit it?
Yeah. We're in Oklahoma City, 13325 North MacArthur Boulevard.
Awesome. And so that's musicians. We covered that. I think that's it. Yeah.
That's it.
That's it. Thank you so much for allowing me to come and talk with you and hang out in your shop. And what kind of tea is this?
Oh, we're drinking Pu'er yellow tea.
It's delicious, by the way.
Thank you so much. And thank you for all the work that you do as well, researching the things that you do and sharing knowledge.
Oh, I appreciate that.
Great benefit.
Thank you very much. Hey guys, thank you so much for hanging out with me during season 2, episode 3 podcast with Joe from Joe's Herb Cabinet. I tell you, this was really such a fucking beautiful experience for me. I just want to give a huge, huge shout out to Joe for sitting with me and hanging out and giving me some of his really valuable time, sharing some valuable information with me, and just all around being just like a good fucking dude. If you have a chance and are in Oklahoma and you want to be led with holistic healing, like, this is the route to go. I am so grateful to have met Joe and to have spent some time with him. I really strongly suggest you guys go check him out. He gives the address to the shop for you guys to go check out. I will definitely be posting on my social media outlets when he has events and stuff coming up. So if you follow me on social media and, you know, just check him out. If you see anything that I post and he's having some event, go check him out. It is so worth it. Great conversation, great cannabis, great medicines, holistic healing all around, great teas. Guys, you're missing out if you don't go check out Joe. I'm just saying. Thanks, guys, for tuning in for episode 3 of The Psychonauts Mirror with your local hood hippie extraordinaire. I love you guys so much and have a beautiful day.